going to the other side of the lake, and there are those that follow him because they are physically hungry. And they don't understand that their physical hunger, what is it about fasting that is so holy and righteous for us? You ever done fasting? After Christmas, fasting is if I make it 2 hours without chocolate. But fasting is a discipline that reminds us of the bread of God that does satisfy. And let me just say this again. If you are looking for satisfaction anywhere other than in God through Christ, you're always going to be looking. And you'll never find what it is. Someone a lot smarter than me made this statement years ago. You can never get enough of what you do not need. Think about that. You can never get enough of what you do not need. Well, the R stands for righteousness that comes from above. Do not look for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Do not work for food that spoils. We had some leftover barbecue. Cheryl is coming back from Orlando, thank the Lord, Thursday. It's actually the longest we've had apart since we've been married, almost 2 weeks. And I really have a lot of work to do Wednesday. But we had gotten some barbecue that was left over from a meeting here at the church, and Gene packed them up in little pint cups and gave us some and so forth, and I'd put it in the freezer. And, I mean, I was down to eating Chex cereal. And there's more to it than I'm going to get into now, but I pulled this barbecue out, and I was able to get to it because I could cut the styrofoam cup off. I didn't have to let it fall a whole lot. And I heated it up, and boy, was it good. And then I put some of it in a bowl in the refrigerator and forgot about it. Barbecue that's been reheated and frozen and reheated and put in a refrigerator doesn't really do well, for those of you that haven't figured that out. Food that spoils. Food that spoils. I remember as a kid, I looked in the refrigerator one day, and I saw this wonderful onion dip. Mom and Dad had had a bridge party the night before, and that was always a good time for us afterwards because we'd go and clean up the food. So I got this potato chip out and got a big hunk of that stuff on the potato chip and just shoved it in. It was leftover gravy. And it was spoiled. Don't work for food that spoils, is his point. Now, of course, there are many images here that go back to the manna that was in the wilderness. If you didn't eat on a daily basis, what happened? It went away. It spoiled. You couldn't store it. You couldn't keep it for the next day and eat it later. There's a righteousness that comes from God from above. He says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, for the Son of Man will give it to you. On that, God has given his seal of approval. And then, of course, they ask him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? Now, isn't that a fascinating question? And it is so relevant to today. And sometimes church people are the world's worst about that particular issue. What must I do? We want to go do something. Is that true? You know, if there's something to do, we'll sign up. And we'll sign up in a hurry. Isn't it amazing if you will peruse the Gospel of John? Do you know that you will not find the noun faith anywhere in that gospel? Of all things, you would think John would be all about faith, wouldn't you? But he does use the verbal tense, believe. And he uses that verb tense, believe and receive are the same word. To as many as receive him, to him he calls the right, they have the right to be called the children of God, comma, even those who believe on his name. The word receive and believe is used interchangeably in John 1:12. And so here he says, what they want to know what they can do. Now, let me just say this again. Even those who claim and name Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior often take their residual legalism and roll that into something else in their faith journey. It's as if we have to impress God. And we get the proverbial cart before the horse. We serve God as part of our worship out of gratitude, not to earn his blessing. Friends, some of the people I have seen suffer the most in this life have served God faithfully. And the gospel is not a holy rabbit's foot that we place around the mirror of our soul. That is not the gospel. And then he turns and says, Jesus answers this question, the work of God is this, believe, receive, believe, accept. That must have really curled their hair. Because they were all about works. They were all about doing something. They were all about self-righteousness. And some of that in a good sense and some of that not a good sense. Well, the E is expecting a sign will disappoint. So they said, what miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. He is saying to them, I am the bread that came from heaven. And at this point, you can only imagine what is being stirred up in their midst. It is so hard to believe because the gospel is so simple. And that makes it so difficult for so many. The simplicity of the gospel. And what do? I'm not trying to be harsh here, but we religiously make it very difficult. We mix it with all kinds of religious terminology. We package it in a way that is untenable for so many. And I'm going to ask your forgiveness with this next statement that I'm going to make. Will you please forgive me? Many of the very things that you and I take pride in become barriers to those outside the church. And we take pride in them. And so often we forget the method and the message. We get them confused. And we fall on our knees at the altar of our own traditions as opposed to accepting the bread from heaven and letting that bread be our life. Expecting a sign will disappoint. Accept the bread. A, accept the bread. 33 to 36, he says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world. Sir, they said, now from now on, give us this bread. I can just hear them thinking this through, that they've got a little bit of faith here somewhere, but they're also looking at their own self-interest again. Give us this bread so that we can eat and be filled. Give us this bread. Then Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, be hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and you still do not believe. The word believe and the word receive are used 98 times in the Gospel of John. Believe, accept it, believe it, believe it. Believe it, 98 times. And they went away at that point thirsty and hungry. Now let me offer this, if I could, for a moment, in the Gospel of John. There are many, many, many metaphors in the Gospel of John for what it means to believe. One of those is, I was once blind and now what? I was living in darkness, now I live in I was lost and now I am. I was hungry and I took and partook of the bread of heaven. I ate the bread of heaven. I received that gift of bread from heaven. I accepted it for myself. Now, we know the story well. We know the story of the woman at the well, right? The woman at the well is another picture for us about what it means to be hungry. She is so thirsty in life that she has tried everything and a lot of everything in order to gain or to get that which would satisfy. And she's miserable because she's yet to get the water that will quench her thirst. And Jesus said, I am that water. D is decide and live. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none that have been given to me, but will raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him, saying, how can he say, I am the bread that came from heaven? Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I came from heaven? And this is the very same Jesus that fasted in the wilderness, was given the opportunity to turn stones into bread, and his response was, you cannot live by bread alone, but live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. The bread of heaven who came down from above is the one who gave himself to give us eternal life, and he continually gives us that bread so that our lives are continually satisfied. And if we look for satisfaction anywhere except in the bread of heaven, we are going to find ourselves unsatisfied. We will not find true meaning in life until we are properly connected to God the Father through Jesus the Son. And that food that God expects us and pleads with us, he says, I am not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That bread that comes from heaven is the bread that will satisfy the longing of our heart and the longings of our heart. He will give us life eternal. And then through partaking of that daily bread, if you will, Lord, this daily bread that we partake of, we're not talking about the symbol of the bread. We're talking about living our lives in the presence of God, the Creator, all the time. And that bread that comes from heaven will satisfy forever. That's what we're talking about. And if you and I find ourselves trying to gain that satisfaction from any other source, we will find ourselves continually shopping around, if you please, for the best deal that offers us the most for us, as in the way the Pharisees and the Sadducees treated Jesus. There's only one bread that'll satisfy forever, and that is a bread that came from heaven. And Jesus said, I am that bread. An ongoing, active, vital relationship with Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven, is the only way to have a fulfilled and satisfied life. And at that point, we see ourselves as, if you please, dispensers of grace, as opposed to merely being recipients of grace. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you love us with a love that is hard to comprehend. And you have given us life, and you've begged us to take the bread that comes from heaven. And you said that those who take that bread will never be hungry again. Those who eat that bread will be children of the one who
sent the bread. Give us that grace so that we might understand what it means to be those who partake the bread. In Jesus' name, amen.